Please close your eyes and just go somewhere with me. So let's focus on our breathing. What I'd like for you all to do is just inhale a big breath. And then as you let that out, just release all of the distractions, all of the impediments to experiencing God's presence that you brought into the room with you. Then again, breathe in God's presence. God is here. And breathe out all the distractions that might get between you and experiencing God's presence. One more time, breathe in God's presence. And just let out a cleansing breath, removing any distractions that remain. I'd like you to keep your eyes closed and pay attention to what you feel physically, what you feel emotionally, as I read Psalm 84 out loud. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. My whole being, body and soul, with that I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home. The swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Judah. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the home of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. So we're going to talk today about bringing God's presence in. And first of all, I just want to clarify a little bit. When I talk about God's presence, oh, maybe you've heard that God is omni this and omni that, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. That means God is present everywhere. It's just sort of a definition of God. And that's not what I'm talking about. That's true, but it's not what I'm talking about. Instead, imagine that Jesus suddenly appeared in this room and said, "Hey, how you doing?" How would that feel? Would that be amazing? Would that get your attention? Would that change some things inside? That's what I'm talking about. Jesus said to his disciples that they would experience his presence on an ongoing basis through the presence of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is here right now in us, and Holy Spirit is here just filling this room the way that God's glory filled the temple. That's the God's presence that I'm talking about. And what I want to do is to talk about God's presence in several ways. First, to talk about desiring God's presence, and then seeking God's presence, and then finding God's presence, and then finally bringing God's presence to others. So we'll start off with desiring. I've been waiting for a chance to do that. So the psalmist wrote, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. I long, I faint with longing. I get what this psalmist is talking about. There are times when my longing for God's presence, for just really being there with God, it is so strong that it hurts. And there were times in my life where I didn't get that experience at the church that I went to, and just things going on in me, I went for decades without really feeling a strong sense of God's presence, and that hurt. I mean, I always was longing for more of God's presence. And one of the problems of trying to teach without notes is sometimes your brain goes blank. Recently, I've been longing for more of God's presence in a specific way. I've been thinking how wonderful it would be and how much I want to live my life totally rooted in God's presence, so that everything that I do, everything that I think, everything that I say, every task that I take on, every decision that I make isn't just me saying, oh yeah, God, this is what I decided, would you please retroactively bless it, but rather it's just me and God together, and God influencing everything that I do and everything that I say, and preventing some of the not God ways that I express myself sometimes. And I just desire that. I've been an equipping pastor here for a little bit less than 4 years, and I remember when I first came on staff, one of the things that I was really excited about was I was going to have more time to pray than I ever had before. And I found out real quickly that I wasn't nearly as good at praying as I thought I was, and that it was really hard for me to spend much time in God's presence, and that just caused me to long for more of God's presence. It's a little bit embarrassing. Sorry about this. I got ahead of myself. The whole thing of God's presence. When I long for it, I long for the sense of wholeness, the sense of well-being, the sense of safety and security, the sense of being exactly where I'm supposed to be and being exactly who I'm supposed to be. That I feel when I feel God's presence, and also. I really long for and appreciate just the little physical sensations that I get that sort of tell me that I'm in God's presence. Sometimes I can tell that God's present because it's weird, but it sort of feels like my head's swelling a little bit. That's the only way I can describe it. Or sometimes I'll get this tingling in my scalp or this tingling all over my body. Just as a way of knowing, when that happens, I know that I'm in God's presence. And There are all sorts of ways that we can experience God's presence like that. Often they're physical. Maybe it's this warmth in your belly, or the sense of lightness, like a load has been taken off your shoulders, or maybe there's this emptiness inside that says, boy, I want more of God's presence. Or maybe there's just this commotion in your chest where God is saying, I want you to do something. Often it's something that's very simple but not at all easy. Something like coming forward for prayer ministry at the end of a service, or going and apologizing to someone, confessing to someone that you've hurt, or maybe forgiving someone who's hurt you. Or maybe it's you look around and God highlights someone who's in the room and says, I want you to go pray for that person, and I'll tell you what to pray for when you get there. God, I'd rather you told me now than I could decide, nope, not going to work that way. So maybe you have ways that you know you're in God's presence. We're in God's presence here right now. Let's just take a few moments and be quiet and just tune in and just pay attention to what it is that in your body or your feelings or whatever that lets you know that you're in God's presence. Do that now. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the joy of being in your presence, for those little hints that you give us that let us know that you're there, for the big changes that you make in us as we experience your presence, just like you're standing in our midst, Jesus. Thank you. Let's talk some about seeking God's presence. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Go back to where I got ahead of myself before. About 4 years ago, I started as equipping pastor here and quickly learned that I didn't know how to pray, how to seek God's presence in prayer the way that I wanted to. And that desire for God's presence led me to seek God's presence. And it's been a journey that's included spiritual disciplines, working with a spiritual director, solitude and silence, service, getting to know myself better. Just all sorts of things have been involved in this journey. And I really like the idea of a journey as a metaphor for describing what it's like to seek God. One of the reasons for that is when we set out on a journey, we usually know where it is that we want to end up. But the journey itself, getting there, does not go the way that we expect it to go. And sometimes people will just avoid taking journeys because they don't want to give up that kind of control. But God calls us to, if we desire God's presence, we need to seek God's presence. We need to do what the psalmist said. He said, blessed are those who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, on a journey to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? You probably know. Jerusalem is where the temple was, and the temple is where God promised people would be able to reliably find his presence. And so if you wanted to be in God's presence, what did you do? You went to Jerusalem and you went to the temple. So we take those kinds of journeys in our seeking of God. And there are a number of different ways that we can seek God's presence, and I'll just talk about some of them that have been helpful for a number of people. We can seek and find God's presence in worship. We show up, we sing our praises to God, and God comes and he meets us in those praises. And my experience, God is reliably here on Sunday mornings as we are worshiping. Now, we can more reliably know what it's like to experience God's presence if we understand, when we understand that worship can go even beyond singing words, but that we can worship with our bodies also. We can raise our hands in various ways, right? However it is that expresses what it is that you're feeling to God. Or maybe we can kneel. We ask you to stand every time we start worshiping. And that's because that's a way of saying, God, I'm here to worship now. I'm setting aside what was preoccupying me a moment ago. I'm standing now in your presence to worship you. May even lay face down on the floor. All those physical ways of expressing what it is that we're receiving from God, what it is that we're feeling about God. I remember Dan Youngren told me once that he learned that when he was worshiping, if he held his hands out like this, right, Dan? Yeah. He experienced God's presence. And if he put his hands down, the experience of God's presence went away. It was pretty reliable. And it's just an example of how worship can lead us into God's presence, especially when we worship with our whole selves. And then community. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm right there in the middle of them, right? And so when we get together for worship on Sunday, or for small group, or get together to scrape stuff off brick walls to help get the building ready, or whatever reason, if we get together for a picnic, or for some other way that we're just enjoying God's presence and enjoying each other's presence. God is there. Jesus promised. We can rely on that. And we can experience God's presence in Scripture. But usually if we want to do that, we need to read the Bible differently than we read other books. Read for, not so much for information, what happened, but rather read for transformation. And that maybe slows us down in our reading. And maybe we read a chunk of Scripture and maybe it's just a little bit and then we just chew on that. It's like a cow chewing its cud over and over and over again, just drawing all of the nourishment possible out of that little bit of God's Word. Sometimes when we're experiencing God's presence through Scripture, it's when we turn reading Scripture into a conversation. So we read a bit, and then we talk to God, and we say, here's what that makes me think, God. Or we say, God, would you please, I'm going to read this again. Would you show me which bit of this is especially what you intend for me? How do you want to speak to me through this? And then maybe we read it again, then we ask questions, and we go into a little bit of praise, thanking God, and then we get quiet and listen to God again and maybe read a little bit more. And it's just, it's different from just reading something, right? It's using Scripture as a basis for a conversation with God. And then there are other kinds of sacred reading. Certainly, reading Scripture is sacred reading, but there are books, articles, websites, blogs, all sorts of things that we can read that will bless us because they're written by someone who is wise and who has been seeking God and who has important things to share, things that will make a difference in our lives, or maybe who's talking about the joy of experiencing God's presence, and we just get to experience that joy also. I get a sense of God's presence regularly from various kinds of sacred reading. Or maybe you're not a reader. Anybody in here not a reader? Or maybe you can be a sacred listener. There are websites, there are apps where you can listen to someone read the Bible out loud. You can listen to books as well as read books. If you're anybody into podcasts, a podcast that we've been talking about in the staff meeting, David and Debbie are listening to it, and I've been listening to it, maybe others on staff. It's called The Ferment, F-E-R-M-E-N-T, like wine ferments. This is The Ferment. And in this podcast, Adam Russell, who's a vineyard pastor and also the leader of vineyard worship in the United States, interviews a different person from the vineyard every week, pastors, worship leaders, other folks, and just asks them to talk about what God's been doing in their lives, what God's been doing in their worship, how God has been transforming them. He recently has interviewed a couple people who were there right at the very beginnings of the vineyard when it was wild, wild west, making this up as we go along. And that was just fascinating to me and really a blessing. I've been just experiencing God's presence from listening to the Ferment podcast. And then, of course, prayer is a way of seeking God's presence. As a matter of fact, that may be a good definition of prayer, is any way that we seek God's presence. Just tell you about a couple things here. One is Emmanuel prayer. Some of us here at the Vineyard have been experiencing God's presence through this thing called Emmanuel prayer. You do Emmanuel prayer with a coach who helps you get in touch with God's presence, with Jesus, and then you sort of turn your imagination over to Jesus, and Jesus will take you to places you wouldn't normally go. He may take you to memories or to awareness of things inside, and there have been times when Jesus took me to painful memories that have affected me negatively, these 50 or 60 years later. And Jesus showed me how I wasn't alone during that time, but he was there with me, even in the midst of that painful occurrence. And it just changed things. It changed the way that I perceived what happened then, and it changed the way that I respond today. And so if you're intrigued or interested in Emmanuel prayer, then you could talk to me about it, or is Kitty here? Okay. Kitty and Danielle and Martha. Danielle and Martha were both at First Service, and they're all Emmanuel prayer coaches, and they'd be happy to, any of us would be happy to tell you more about Emmanuel prayer. And then just private prayer. I've learned over time that private prayer can be more than just what I originally thought it was, bringing a list of things to God and saying, okay, God, now I'd like for you to do this and do that. And you know, that certainly, God accepts that when I approach him as a child, and it's a way of coming into his presence. But prayer has changed for me. It's much more dialogue than monologue now, talking to God, but also being quiet and listening to God. And often for me now, prayer is just to get quiet, to find a way to be quiet, and just sit in God's presence and listen. And sometimes I don't hear anything from God, and all sorts of thoughts are buzzing around, bumping around in my brain. But other times I feel like God says something to me, or maybe God brings a person or a situation to mind. And then I say, okay, God, I lift that up to you. Do what you know needs to be done. I'll intercede for that person since you brought it up. As a matter of fact, for me, more and more experiencing God's presence looks like that. It looks like creating a space for God. And what I mean by that is, for example, practicing silence and solitude. Just getting away from everybody, just in a different room of my house, and then turning off everything so that it's just quiet, and so that I'm not in the noise that fills my life so much of the time. And then just setting aside all of my devices. And I have a lot of devices, and they monopolize my time. I'm just saying, no, I'm going to put those to the side, and I'm just going to create this empty space, which feels a little bit scary sometimes, feels a little bit naked sometimes, but God, I'm creating this space, come into it and do whatever it is you want to. Or sometimes I create space by just going on a personal retreat, getting away from the daily routine in order to create space. Or maybe I create space by saying no to that part of me that's always clamoring for me, 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 and setting that aside and working to serve somebody else. And in that way, creating space for God to come in. It's something all of us can do. You can find spiritual disciplines that work for you. You can try out the ones that interest you and find the ones that work for you and then use those as a way of creating space for God in your life. And as I go about creating space, as I go about seeking God's presence, it's becoming clearer and clearer to me that seeking God's presence, that journey is a journey of transformation. God takes my desire, God takes my willingness to embark on this journey, and he uses all of that to change me, to make me more into the person that he wants me to be, that he created me to be. And what's really exciting is more and more into the person that if I tell myself the truth, that's really who I deeply most want to be. Oh. God's presence is powerful. Let's talk some about finding God's presence. Psalmist wrote, "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you." We feel desire for God's presence, and that desire motivates us to seek God. And then as we seek God, we expect to find God's presence. We expect to experience God's presence. And by God's grace, we do. But it may not be in the way that we think. It turns out that finding God is more a process of being found by God. And certainly my efforts, my desire, my seeking are necessary. I mean, you aren't going to find something, you aren't likely to find something you aren't looking for. But it's not me who's doing it. It's God who's doing it. And that's really good news, because we have this extraordinary God who is ultimately powerful and who loves us so much that he just wants us to be in his presence even more than we want it. And he's going to make that happen. This is a God who knows us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who knows things about us that we aren't even aware of. This is a God who is patient with us, who takes us from one step to the next in his wisdom exactly the way that we need. And if we were in charge, we'd probably get all cart before the horse. But God doesn't allow that to happen. He knows that that wouldn't be good. But he just takes us step by step. And God, he isn't limited to like 100 years or less like we are. But rather, he lives in eternity. And that means that sometimes he just goes slow. He just goes slower than I'd go. But he knows what he's doing, and he goes at just the right speed to bring us into his presence. And he does bring us into his presence. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right, who embark on that journey to seek his presence. Then let's talk a little bit about bringing God's presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. So I said before that in the psalmist's time, People who were seeking God's presence went to Jerusalem and to the temple because God had said, hey, this is the place where I'm going to hang out. But for us, there's a problem with that. In 586 BC, the Babylonian army came, sacked Rome, and destroyed Solomon's temple. About 70 years later, some Israelites returned from exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem. And after a while, they rebuilt the temple. They built the second temple, which itself was destroyed in 70 AD when Roman army came and sacked Jerusalem and tore down the temple. Folks, there is no longer a temple in Jerusalem. So where can we go? Where can we go to reliably experience God's presence? Actually, the Apostle Paul answered that in some stuff that he wrote to the Corinthians, and I think this is really quite cool. Paul wrote, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God?" Wait a minute. There still is a temple. And that the Spirit of God lives in you. God is reliably present in us. Whenever we get together, God is present. We can count on it. He's promised. And then Paul gets even a little bit more radical, I think. A little bit later he says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" Your body is a temple. Now, he isn't talking about all of you collectively kind of you. He's talking about you individually, you, each of us. Your body is a temple. It's like your body is a walking, talking temple, mini temple, where we are carrying it around with us, spreading God's presence wherever it is that we go. And knowing that, we can get intentional about spreading God's presence. I want to introduce or work in, probably it's not an introduction, just work in a fancy theological word. We incarnate God's presence. And the word incarnate comes from a Latin word that means to put flesh on it, or to give it a body. We give God's presence a body. Paul wrote that we are the body of Christ, right? All of us collectively and individually, we're parts of it. When God needs a body to get something done in our world in this day, he uses us because that's who we are. We are the feet, the hands, the mouth, the ears, whatever body part God needs in order to do what it is he intends to do. And there are ways that we can incarnate God's presence, ways that we bring God's presence. One is to pray for people. When you come forward for prayer ministry toward the end of the service, or when your small group prays for you, or whenever you experience prayer ministry, what is prayer ministry but just coming into God's presence and bringing yourself and your needs and your challenges into God's presence? And then seeing what it is that God has to say or what it is that God has to give. And you can also bring God's presence to them by praying for them from a distance. I've learned this from times when people like sent a text or an email message saying, please pray for me, this and that's going on and I need prayers. And then later they say, and right after I sent that, I had this heightened sense of God's presence. It was like Jesus was right there and I know by that you were praying for me. And so praying for others can be a way to bring them into God's presence. Listening to people. And I'm talking here especially about people who are going through difficulty, people who have reached their wits' end, people who don't know how they're going to continue. By listening to them, and I'm talking about being quiet and listening, not trying to fix their problems, but just listening to them, we incarnate God's presence, because guess what? Whenever you're in that kind of I don't know what to do situation, God is there. And when we are there also, God can use us to bring that peace that passes understanding. that sense of well-being in the midst of pain. It's crazy, but it's true. That sense that everything's wrong and yet God's here and so everything's okay. Can't explain it. It's just God's powerful presence. And we bring that when we listen. When we see needs and meet them. When you bring a dinner to someone who's just a family that's just had a baby or to a family that's just had somebody in the hospital, you're not only bringing food, you're also bringing God's presence. Or when you go and help out at a Christian Activity Center or at Oasis or somewhere like that, you're just incarnating God's presence. You are physically being what is true about God. God is there. God cares for the disadvantaged. God is there blessing people who need that blessing, and you're there incarnating that, representing that, bringing God's presence through your presence. When you tell someone about Jesus, when you just tell your own story about how knowing Jesus has blessed you and changed you and made this wonderful difference in your life, telling just that story is bringing someone into God's presence. When you ask God to come with healing or with deliverance or with some other powerful miracle, you're bringing that person into God's powerful, life-changing presence. When you forgive those who have hurt you, you're incarnating God. You're doing what God does. Jesus died and rose so that we could be forgiven. And Jesus, God has Jesus present always for us to just receive that forgiveness and the new life that comes with it. And we just incarnate God's presence. We're physically doing what God is always doing. And just an example, a simple example of what it can look like to incarnate God's presence. So say that you're with your child or your grandchild, maybe. And you're standing by the bed and you've tucked the child in and it's time to just say goodnight and to sleep. And you pray over that child and you touch that child somewhere. And you just pray God's blessing and God's presence and God's protection over that child. And God comes and fills that child with the assurance, yeah, God's here with me. I can go to sleep safely. I don't need to fear any terrors in the night. The list goes on and on. There are all sorts of ways that we can bring God's presence to people. And maybe a way of summing it up is as we just go about living our lives, living the God-inhabited life that Jesus taught about, the God-connected life that Jesus modeled, as we go about living that kind of life, then God's just leaking out of us and bringing God's presence to all sorts of people with that walking, talking mini-temple, bringing God's presence to others. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. God created us to be whole, complete, and happy when we're in his presence. And when we lack his presence, we lack something. It's a lack that we can feel. And Jesus died and rose so that we can be free of the curse and experience God's presence. And as soon as we say yes to Jesus, yes, take this life. Yes, I want the life that you offer. Yes, I want that forgiveness. Then it's ours. You can just count on it. And then finally, just a little bit, how does bringing God's presence move every person toward Jesus? Let me share something Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom, but to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? God makes it happen. He just wafts out from us this life-giving perfume to everyone who knows Jesus, to everyone who is on that path toward knowing Jesus. And God works through that fragrance to draw people unto himself, to bring people closer and closer to Jesus. It's not something we do, it's something God does. And then Paul asks, and who is adequate for a task such as this? I think that's a rhetorical question. I think Paul knew the answer to that question. The answer is, we are. Because God is alive in us, and God is present in and through us. So would the worship team please come on down? Let's talk just quickly about a challenge. So be in touch with your desire for God's presence. Be in touch with that and let it motivate you to seek more of God's presence. Find at least one way to seek more of God's presence for yourself this week. And then as you walk and talk, living your daily life, just remember, be aware that you're this walking, talking mini temple, bringing God's presence wherever you go, and find a way, at least one way, this week to intentionally bring God's presence to another person. Would you please stand up?